Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is truly an honor and a blessing to be able to be here with you all. It's been almost 3 months since Nicole and I, as Brother had just mentioned, that we've been doing our training at Fort Jackson under the chaplaincy program, where it's essentially like our basic training as military chaplains, where we have to go through different types of trainings in a military environment, and also how to be able to provide religious support. It has been quite an experience. I ask in advance that you all may pray for us, because next week is our final week, in a sense, where we'll be participating in what's called Capstone, where they're going to take us out in the middle of nowhere, and we're going to have to practice everything that we've learned during these last 3 months. They're going to put simulations on how to be able to provide care and support for soldiers under fire and many different types of scenarios. And we just ask that you may keep us within your prayers and that everything may go well. A little bit about myself, just so you can know who is here right in front of you guys giving today's message. So I was born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. I don't know if anybody has been out far that west in Utah. We're a little close to California, Nevada, around that vicinity. So I was there and then studied in Puerto Rico in the Adventist University there for my undergrad, bachelor's in theology. And I was able to practice some associate ministry as a pastor at a church, and now completing our MDiv and our training, here we are by God's grace and mercy. So it's quite, like I said, it's been quite the experience, and it's a blessing to be here and to be able to share God's word. And but before we begin, I always before we go into today's topic, I'd just like to lift a word of prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit again to guide us in the study, and we'll be able to learn from God's word. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we just come before you again, asking that your Holy Spirit may be here with us, that it may be your words that may inspire us, and that we may be able to learn from your word, and that we may be able to apply the necessary lessons in our lives, and that you may bless us with your truth. In your name I pray, amen. Okay. So without further ado, I would just like to present what are we going to be covering this morning. So when we think about the choices that we make at a daily basis, there's times where we can feel a little bit uneasy, because we know that there are some choices that can be very important and that can ultimately decide a big factor. For example, where am I going to send my children off to study? Can be possibly a decision that we can think about and at times be a little worried about. Where am I going to live? Where will I place my family? What decisions am I going to take that will potentially have bigger consequences in the future? And it could also imply very spiritual decisions that we make. How much time am I going to dedicate into getting closer to God? Or how much time I haven't been placing in my life to be able to get closer to God. These are many things that we can reflect on a daily basis, but what we're going to study in this morning, we're going to be doing what's called a case study. One of the characters that for me personally, I have learned a lot from. And it could be both in good way, but also in bad ways as well. Because in the Bible, we see many characters that have gone through so much in their trajectory. And a lot of times, their ending isn't always the best, isn't always what God had intended them to cross. So this morning, I want to focus a little bit on the story of Lot, which is found in Genesis. Well, the story of Lot covers a sizable portion of the story of Abraham. But even in that story, we don't see all that much emphasis made on Lot, right? When we look at the story of Lot and what his story was, we see that there was great plans for Lot that God had in store for him. Here. There we go, perfect.
So when we look, just adding a little context, right? I think we're all familiar with the story of Lot and a little bit as to how his participation was in the calling that God had made to Abraham. So we see in Genesis chapter 12 that God had called Abraham. God was taking that next step in that plan of salvation, of coming forth of the Messiah to save humanity from their sins. So he calls Abraham, he gives him this great commission to get out of his hometown, get out of the land where he's comfortable, and to take him to this place where he is going to make him into a great and powerful nation, where the Messiah was going to come out of his lineage. So we see that Abraham, he obeys. He doesn't question. He may have worry in his heart, but he still obeys, and he goes forth, and he goes out of his homeland. And we see that in verse 4, that his nephew, Lot, goes with him. So right here, right off the bat, we can make some assumptions already about who Lot is and some of the characteristics he may have. Although the Bible doesn't say explicitly why Lot went with him, but we could assume that Lot maybe wanted a part of this blessing as well, right? Maybe he saw, he admired his uncle who was already old in age. Maybe he saw some qualities where he's like, I can learn from my uncle. I can learn from this experience that he's about to take. Maybe I can go and be able to form part of this blessing that God is setting out to accomplish through him. You know, because leaving your hometown, that's no easy thing. But we can see here that it required bravery, it required faith, it requires courage. You know, and like I said, first time when somebody steps out into the world on their own, you know, I don't know if you all remember the first time you had to leave home or where you had to leave to a far place away from your family. It's not so easy. It takes courage. It takes faith in God to be able to take that leap of faith and be able to follow him. But we see that Abraham had that faith and also Lot who went with him. So we see here that in this beginning experience, there's high hopes, there's high expectations of what God can do. And it's very good to meditate on those things because God has a special plan for all of us. No matter what point in our lives we are in, God has and will continue to have great plans for you. But it's up to you to decide if you will have faith in where God is leading you, and where God is taking you, and where God will put you. But we see here that right after they make this decision, we're going to get to a specific portion where we're going to start reading a little bit more. But we see here that once Abraham and Lot, they go out, that strife happens. That not everything is sunshine and roses. But we see here in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to 7, that there begins to be strife amongst the shepherds of Abraham and Lot. So we see that immediately God begins to bless Abraham and Lot. They start amassing riches, wealth. In verses 5, it says the following, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 5, that says, Lot also who went with Abraham, or Abram, as formerly known, right, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So again, we start seeing that in this very limited space, there's beginning to be trouble, right? Maybe the shepherds wanted to claim a certain area of the place where they were in because there was a lot of water, there was a lot of grass for their sheep, for their camel, for their cattle. So, but also Abram and Lot's servants, they couldn't agree on who can be where, and there began to be trouble. But it's very interesting at the end of that verse that in the midst of this strife, it mentions that in that land there were Canaanites and Perizzites. And then when I read that part, and then I looked into a little bit about why in that portion it mentioned it, these two were bitter rivals. So not only were they in this foreign land where they were fighting and struggling, but there were also conflicts happening around them. For the Canaanites, and they were the ones who were dwelling in that place, but the Perizzites, they were more of a tribal clan, we can say, and they would wreak havoc in those areas. So what the verse was is telling us essentially is that in the midst of this strife, there's also danger in this land. There's a lot of danger happening because of the battles and conflicts, and this actually plays a big part as to in further on in the story. So we see here that rather than coming to an agreement, rather than trying to figure things out and remain united, we see that Abram has a really bright idea, where we see in verse 8 to 13, where he essentially says, Lot, okay, our herdsmen are fighting. We need to figure something out here. So I propose the following. So he goes and he looks across the land, right? And he says, wherever you choose, you go. And then I'll go the other way. So in the verse, it highlights how Abram was giving him the option to do it. And then Balaam, what he did was very interesting, because in verse 10, in chapter 13, verse 10 says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Very important, they separated. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even so far as Sodom. And verse 13, telling us a little bit of the context of the city of Sodom, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. So the title of the sermon is Little Choices or Small Choices, Big Outcomes. Because we see here that Lot made what seemed to be a pretty good choice, where he taking advantage of this situation where his uncle was telling him, you know, you choose the best land for yourself and I'll go the other way. We see that Lot chose the plain of Jordan. It was lush, it was beautiful, like the Garden of Eden, as mentioned. But there was just one issue, that there was a city that was located in that valley. And what was that city? The city of Sodom. And we all know, understand the city of Sodom, of how wicked and cruel that was. Sodom was notorious. We're not going to dive into the specifics, because later on in the story it does that for us. But it's essentially, Sodom was a symbol or the representation of human wickedness, of the sinful state of man and what it represents. That was the city of Sodom. But it's interesting, because even then, Lot chose for himself that place. When looking at Ellen G. White's writings and Patriarchs and Prophets, we see that she mentions that one of the reasons why Lot chose this place wasn't just because of the vegetation, wasn't just because of the richness that the land had provided, but he also saw a very good opportunity. He saw an opportunity where he could make wealth in the city of Sodom. So if you think about it, Lot was making a statement, because at this point he had already amassed wealth. He had already seen a bit of the blessing that God had promised to Abraham, that he already seen it for in his own eyes. But that wasn't enough for him. He was all, you know what? You know, I'm starting to see what God had already provided, but I think I can probably do something over there in Sodom. I think I can probably do some good business decisions, and I can go and multiply the blessings that God has already given me. So the question is, where was Lot putting God's blessing in his heart compared to the blessings of the world? What was taking priority in his heart? And sadly, we sometimes tend to fall in the same situation, in the same trap, where we think that the blessings that God can provide or give us aren't enough, or aren't the right blessings for me. And I need to go out and look for my own blessing. And I need to go out and make my own decision, because I know better. But right here, we're already starting to see a little bit as to who Lot was and how he viewed the blessings of God. So the story goes on. You know, we see he makes the decision. He's probably happy. He's like, all right, family, we're going to go and move to this plain. There's big opportunity for us. things are going to go awesome. The things are going to go great. But we see later on that that decision did not pay out at all. Because we're not going to read through them, but during the next few chapters, we see that there's wars, there's conflicts. Lot and his family are taken hostage. They're taken as prisoners by the kingdoms in that land. And Abraham has to go out and essentially rescue Lot and his family. And only with a few men, he goes out and he's able to take down big armies and kingdoms because God was with him. And he was able to rescue Lot. But we see in the story that even after these conflicts, even after him realizing that maybe the choice of going out this close to the city, pitching his tent close to the city of Sodom, maybe it wasn't the best choice, we see that he doesn't rejoin his uncle, but rather that he remains living near Sodom. And that's where we see that of that consequence. I want to actually read here a little bit of that, of what Ellen G. White writes about that night in Sodom. And it says, "And now the last night of Sodom was approaching. Already the clouds of vengeance cast their shadows over the devout city. But men perceived it not. While angels drew near in their mission of destruction, men were dreaming of prosperity and pleasure. The last day was like every other day had come and gone. Evening fell upon a scene of loveliness and security. A landscape of unrivaled beauty was bathed in the rays of the declining sun. But in Sodom there was mirth and revelry, feasting and drunkenness. The vilest and most brutal passions were unrestrained. The people openly defiled God and his law and delighted in deeds of violence. Though they had before them the example of the antediluvian world and knew how the wrath of God had been manifested in their destruction, yet they followed the same course of wickedness." So we see here that God was bringing judgment to Sodom. God, the wickedness of Sodom had reached its limit. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, Sodom today is compared to like Vegas or these places, right, where there's just, where it was Sin City. But when we look at it, Sodom was a lot worse because Vegas is still standing and Sodom isn't. So just to give you an idea, it's just how wicked, right, Sodom was. But we see that God was coming about and bringing forth judgment and destruction to this city. But this is giving us also, because it's interesting because later on in Christ, he compares the last days as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're getting close to a point where that same sinful nature, that same sinful deceitfulness that Satan comes and brings to our hearts is going to come to a fulfillment where we will also be in a place where God will come and bring judgment in the last days. But we see in the midst of all this, in the midst of everything, that God is going to go and bring destruction to the city, that he remembers Lot. He remembered him. You know, this for me gives me hope, because I know that God will remember his people. God will remember his servants. And we see here that although Lot, he had made poor choices, remembering what the promise that he made to Abraham, and because Lot was his family, was his kin, he remembered Lot. So right before that day of destruction, right, as we had just previously read, right before that moment where God was going to bring havoc and destruction of this sinful city, we see that God sends out his two messengers. He sends two angels to go and to visit Lot and to warn him of the pending doom. We see that Lot, chapter 19, we see that Lot, what he would accustom and do would sit at the gates of the city, where he would be receiving people, and he notices these two men, and without knowing, he didn't know that they were angels, but because it was just a customary thing that he would do, he invited them to stay at his place. He wasn't realizing that he was just inviting salvation into his door in the midst of the coming destruction. And at first, the angels testing him were like, "No, it's okay. We can sleep in the city courts, or we can sleep outside." But Lot, knowing the danger, he insisted and insisted, "No, please come with me, because I know the evil of this city, and you won't last the night here," right? So we see that he takes them in, that he is dining. But then we see the evilness of the city. We see the just the nature of sin entering in the hearts of men that they want. And what did they want? They asked Lot for these men. So that they could, as scripture says, that they can know them carnally. Then they can know them sexually. That's just how deprived this city was. But we see here that at this point, God had had enough. God had had enough. Right here, the angels were like, we're here to do God's command. This city can no longer be saved. And they come forth and tell Lot, you have to get out of here. We are messengers from God, and we're going to destroy the city. And you and all your family, all those who came here with you, have to get out of here. Right? And it says there in verse 12 and 14, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out, and he spoke to his sons-in-laws, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And something sad happened, and it said, but to his sons-in-laws, he seemed to be what? He seemed to be joking. When I read that, that just makes me sad. Because imagine you knowing of a pending destruction. God is bringing judgment to this place. God he's told you his plan. What will happen? And of the necessity of getting close to these two angels, right, and leaving this place. You go to your family, trying to convince them, get out of this place. But they think that you're joking. They're like, what? What destruction are you talking about? This city? This big city? This fortified city? You think destruction is going to come to this city? Because remember, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were the biggest cities in that area. They had probably a strong army. They probably had great weapons. They probably had a system that was well fortified. But the problem was that Lot's family had moved not only physically to the city of Sodom, but they also moved spiritually, emotionally. Everything was now tied to this city of sin, of this city that produced evil. Remember, small choices, big outcomes. Whoever thought, right, that when Lot decided to move close, to pitch his tent close to the city of Sodom, that his whole family would also be taken in this coming destruction. You know, there comes a time where we make decisions, but we have to understand that those decisions don't only impact us. You know, a lot of time we say, oh, well, it's my life. It's my decision. It's what I do, you know, that's going to impact me alone. No, that does not fall to that trap. Because we don't realize that how our decision can influence the decision of others as well. Lot didn't realize that when he made the decision, he was making the decision for his family. And him getting close to this sinful city, that it was going to come about of his family now not wanting to leave this place. How your decision can ultimately impact your family, can impact your loved ones, can impact also your neighbors. If you decide to be faithful or not, your decision ultimately has an influence on others. And how upsetting it had been to Lot, and just of him knowing this, his family not coming, he was scrambling here and forth, trying to urge his family. But then the following, in verse 15, says, but when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, right, he didn't want to leave because he had much possessions. He had family. He had loved ones. While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and sent him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Again, small choices, big outcomes. With how much did Lot enter the city? With how much? The Bible doesn't tell us an exact number, but we know it was a lot because it was rivaling what Abraham had livestock, servants, children, son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. There were many. But how much of that did he leave with? Just three people. His wife and his two daughters. That's it. And even through all that, we see that God still showed mercy to Lot. Because Lot, he didn't want to go. Because of his family, his possessions that were there, that were being left behind. But even through that, God was still showing mercy to Lot. Again, how many choices have we made, or we keep making, that keep influencing others? Very tragic, the story of Lot. And then it culminates in verse 23, 26. The sun had risen up upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. That's the city where he ended up going. He was able actually to negotiate with the angels, and the angels were going to destroy Zoar, but Lot was able to convince him to not destroy it, so he can go to that city. And then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. And in verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So tragic. So tragic, the story of Lot, of how not even his wife made it out. So at the end, of all the possessions, of all of his family, all of his loved ones that went into that city, only two daughters had escaped, just because he decided to pitch his tent close to Sodom. Brothers and sisters, when we decide to pitch our tent close to sin, we have to be careful, because pending destruction is upon him. When we decide to pitch, we think it's harmless. We think that what we're doing is good. By not obeying God's commands, by not obeying God's will, by saying, you know, it's just a small choice. I got this. How bad can this decision be? We have to be careful. The story of Lot is a bright and illustrative example of what can happen when we choose to do our will and not God's will. The story of Lot is a cautionary tale for us, because when we look of the potential, and that's what sticks out the most, is the potential of what Lot could have been if he were to remain faithful to God, of what he could have received if he were to stuck with his uncle and received a part of the blessing. Because we see here, like in the story, how it plays out, it's wanting you to compare one to the other, of how Lot was in the bosom of Abraham. He could have been a part of that holy nation that was about to emerge to bring forth the Messiah. He could have been a part of that. His children could have been part of the blessings that God had in store. But because he decided to leave, but because he wanted to seek his own blessings, we see that at the end of the destruction, he was left with nothing. And then we know how the story ends. It doesn't end there with Lot. He goes out, and the grave sin of incest comes into his family. And Lot dies alone in a cave somewhere, hidden, and there his life ends. And because of that incest, we see that comes about two of the biggest rivals that the people of Israel had later. So we see here that a big outcome just based on a small decision. When Lot trusted his own judgment and his own and whole way of seeking God's blessing, Abraham trusted God and obeyed. Abraham wasn't perfect either. Did Abraham commit? Did he do bad decisions as well? Of course he did. We know his story. We know what he did. But the difference was that each time he fell, each time he went, he made a bad decision, he repented and returned back to God and returned back to his ways and returned back to where he knew God's will was. Lot sadly did not do that. In his story, we see that time and time again, we see that he was making decisions that ultimately impacted his life and his family's life. He experienced loss of family, destruction of all he owned, a troubled legacy, and remembered as an example. He was part of an example of what can happen when we pitch our tent close to sin. So this is, I invite us to in each moment of our lives, that we may be able to examine ourselves, and where is your tent pitched? How close to Sodom are you? Because the reality is, brothers and sisters, we sometimes, we aren't aware of how close we are to Sodom and Gomorrah in our hearts. I'm talking about here, you know, it's a spiritual fight, right? It may not necessarily be within a place, although there's some places, right, that are compared where there's sin in big cities. But even in that city, how tight is your heart to the sins? Because you can also be far away from the city and your heart still be in the things of the sinful. Like, the place where you live physically has some impact, but at the end, it's your decision as to where your heart is. Where have you placed God's word in your heart? How far are you from God, and how close are you to Sodom? Because at the end, it's going to be our choice as well. When that destruction comes, we know that the destruction is close. We know that the coming of Christ is imminent, where the day of destruction will come upon us. But where will we find ourselves? Will we be finding ourselves tied to the things of this world, or will we be amongst the faithful who are still seeking God's will and seeking to get close to God? And that is why in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, 20, tells us, it puts it into perspective, right? This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that have set before you life and death. It's just as simple as that. Sometimes we try to complicate it. We say, well, you know, there's a gray area where I can be in the middle. I can get best of both worlds, right? We sometimes think that. You know, I'll have one foot in, the other out. I can live here. I can be balanced. But no, it's either life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, right? This is the Lord speaking to us through his servant. He said, choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, it won't always be easy to choose what's right, especially in the world where it's telling us that the blessings of this world are greater, and when you make these decisions, it will lead to a better outcome. It's not always going to be easy. But let us make the choice that will ultimately bring forth eternal glory, that will bring forth an eternal reward and not a temporary reward. Let us let go of that sin which we so dearly hold on to. All of us have a story. All of us have a journey, an experience. I don't know what that experience is, but you and God do know. And you know those things that you must let go, that we must let go. How far are we going to hold fast to that sin? Because that sin won't last forever. That sin will not last forever. One day that sin will be destroyed. And if you're held on to that sin, guess what? You will be destroyed along with that sin. Because sin will not be eternal, but God's blessings will be eternal. The salvation and the righteousness that God gives us are eternal. So right here, we have to be critical about this. How much is this sin worth? How much is this sin worth in my eternal life? Is it worth it? And I'm pretty sure all of us, because we're here, because God called our hearts, the answer is no, it's not worth it. So as we make decisions and we make choices, let us bring forth what God has for us and put it clear as day. Let us devote ourselves to God. Let us return to the Lord so that he may be able to, when that day comes, that we may not run in fear, that we may stand in the presence of God, and that we may be able to receive the eternal reward. And let us then be able to trust in God now and today. That is the invitation I make in this morning. Because the message of life is very simple. It's either you choose life or you choose death. Either you choose sin or you don't, or you choose the will of God. It's that simple. We sometimes complicate, like I said before, but that is ultimately the choice that we make. And I hope today and this morning that you will make the right choice, and that you may help God. And let's be vulnerable to God and say, Lord, it's not easy for me to do this. I've been struggling with this sin for so long. Is it even possible for me to change my ways? But the answer is yes, it is possible through the power of God. So let us not lose hope. Let us not stop in that fight. And we will see that God will rescue us in the time of need. Because how God rescued Lot, he can rescue you too. But don't wait until the last moment. Don't wait until something horrible has happened. Or maybe something already has happened in your life and we're still struggling. Let not the things of this world come forth and bring fruit to our decisions of sin. But rather, let's just choose God today. And we will see how at the end, he will be able to bring forth a new spirit and a new heart so that we may be able to desire the things that are eternal, the things of heaven. And that's how we'll then be able to be a blessing to others, impact our community, and be able to be a light in the midst of darkness. May God bless his word this morning.